Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. That time of the week when we come together and touch one another and hopefully share our thoughts, our questions, our answers. So put your feet up. Hopefully you have a cup of tea, something warm or cool, depending on where you live, and enjoy this next hour. Last week, we had started on a journey that had to do with meditating. And the reason that I wanted to bring up that subject is because it's something that the cherubim talk about quite a bit in the Akashic Records when people have a reading. And there seems to be so much confusion about the subject. Last week we talked about guided meditations and that they are wonderful for relaxing the body. We also talked about people who spend time quietly sitting, calming down the mind, and waiting for something to happen. Sort of like the date, you know, waiting for the prom, waiting for her beau to come with that flower, that corsage. And hopefully isn't late. And many times people are disappointed when they meditate in this manner because they feel that nothing happens. And so they get discouraged and they stop meditating. What the Akashic Records tell us and the cherubim constantly discuss is that in their point of view, and I do believe this is accurate myself personally, true meditation is connecting with the higher mind. And the higher mind, my friends, is the gateway to the soul monad. And you might say, well, why is this important? Well, the soul monad holds the history of your soul. And so, if you have a question, who am I? Where am I going? What's my mission? Have I made arrangements to meet that special person to be part of my life, to share my mission? These are questions that you can find on the other side of that gateway, because your planning before you entered into this life was formulated by your soul before it sent you that particle. And so considering how important this truly is, let's talk about how do you go within, how do you reach that aspect of your soul that holds all this information. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about this gateway. The higher mind is not really all that interested about your trip to the grocery store, nor is it too interested about your daily activities at work. Might not even be interested if you forgot the dry cleaning before you came home. What it's really interested in is your spiritual path, whether you're at the high road, the low road, or the medium road. And we've talked about those roads, that medium road being that road that you planned before you came into this lifetime. And if you don't accomplish that, the lower path. And of course, if you bring forth more than you planned, the higher road. These are the sort of things that gateway to the soul monad, the higher self, is interested in. It's that part that can see around the bend, so to speak. And so, if it's only interested in your spiritual self, then what grabs its attention? If it's not really paying that much attention to the flat tire you had to change, the gas that you pumped into your car, And whether your mortgage payments were made on time, then what does get its attention? Well, first of all, it's emotion. But a particular kind of emotion. And it is the only thing that's going to wake up the higher mind. And what that emotion is, of course, centers around love, but it is two aspects of love. It is appreciation is one, and it is, well, a sense of beauty. It is a love essence that centers around gratitude. So gratitude and appreciation are parts of a love essence. We all understand intellectually what appreciation, gratitude is, what love is, but there is an intellectual understanding of that, and then there is the emotional feeling. Now, my friends, there's a big difference between the two. We can talk about lovers. We could talk about the movies that we've seen where there is a comedy about two lovers. Intellectually, we know what it is, but we're not necessarily feeling that when we talk about it. So how does one feel it? Because we have to use this to get attention to our higher mind. Well, I don't know about you, but some people really feel this when they see something magnificent in nature. I remember one time standing in Yosemite, and there was a view there of the Cascade Mountains in the distance. How could anyone look at this and not feel the love and appreciation of nature? Being in Yosemite and seeing some of the waterfalls as they cascaded down some of the most remarkable mountains, how could you not feel something inside when you saw God's paintbrush with the foliage? And if you're close enough to hear the water as it tumbles over the rocks, maybe even feeling the spray of the water, maybe even sensing the energy of the water as it moved, how could you not feel the wonder and the appreciation of what God had created? That is the emotion. That is the feeling that you need to bring with you when you sit down and are ready to decide that you're going to contact the higher mind. There are other scenes. If you don't have a scene like that that comes into your mind, it might be the innocence of children when they play. There's something that moves in the heart when you see this, because you feel that connection to the innocence, to the wide-eyed wonder of children. And you have to feel something. It has to be some form of love. Or maybe you had someone do something really special for you when you really needed it, when you really needed help. Someone was there for you and extended a hand, and you felt this gratitude. And so when you sit down and you're ready to do this meditation, you gather these energies, this emotion in your heart, that something that you felt. Think of those moments and feel that when you sit down to meditate. That's how you prepare yourself. And then, of course, one needs to relax. One needs to shed the tension of the day. You could do it through breathing. You could do it through listening to some really special music. And it's important to play the same kind of music each time. Personally, I use Steve Halpern's music. There is something, that takes you to an alpha state. That is that state that you might feel before you go to sleep at night. The body calms down, or at least it should. And the muscles relax. And you breathe deeply. And you are in a state of complete silence. There is a silence within the body as it relaxes. And as you play your music, if that's what you're using, you're training the body to know that when you sit down in that place, and hopefully it's the same place, hopefully in the beginning it's the same time, and the body gets the signal, you're training the body that when you do these things, this is what you expect. And you sit there and you bring those emotions into play. And then you send that emotion to the higher mind. You don't have to know where the higher mind is. You could just send it above you with the intention that that is what you want to reach. And you breathe in slowly. And you exhale slowly, and you hold that emotions, those emotions within your heart. And it is like you're knocking at the doorway. You're sending these emotions to the doorway, and you are knocking at the door. You want entrance. You are ready. And you relax, and you do this. And at some point, and this is the hard part to explain, at some point there is a response. You feel it. It is when the higher mind then listens. You grab its attention. It cannot move away from those emotions when you knock at the door with those emotions. And so there is a sense of discovery. It is like someone is listening to you. It's subtle at first, but you feel it. It's a definite change. And when you feel this, you then send your request. And maybe the request is, who am I? Where am I going? And you will get the answer. It depends on your composition, just how you'll get the answer. You might hear it in a direct voice. It's how I hear it. And if you do, you want to make sure that you have paper and pencil by the side of your desk or table, wherever you are doing this, and you immediately write down the answers because you are in an altered state. It is that alpha state. And surely when you come back to the beta state, which is where I am now speaking to you, you'll forget. So you write it down. It is like in the dream state. When you wake up from a dream, you remember it at the moment. But then later through the day, you kind of forget the details, and that's how this is. So you might hear it in direct voice. And you have to be, your nature has to be clairaudient to do this. And since everyone is not clairaudient, you might hear it or sense it or feel it in another way. You might see colors. And you see, color and sound, they were part of the creation. They are tools that are used in creation, so it's not unusual or extraordinary if you see colors. And so you might say to yourself, well, how do I know the answer to that if I'm seeing colors? Well, you then go to your angels and you ask them to help interpret the colors for you. They will give you that help. Now, if you're not hearing a direct voice, you're not seeing it in color, don't be discouraged, because the answer might come to you in very synchronistic manners. So you have to be alert and aware. And what I mean by that is when you have this question in your mind, the answer might come through intuition. It might be a song that you have heard. It might be a person with a message. It might be an article that you've seen on the internet or in the newspaper. So you must be alert. Good to keep a diary, especially if you're not hearing a direct voice. It's good to keep a diary anyway in the beginning stages. And so this, my friend, is so important, because the first time that you try and work and make this effort to reach the higher mind, it takes some doing. It is like there's cobwebs there in the channel that need to be swept out so that the next time you do it, it becomes a lot easier. It's like any skill. You know, do you remember the mothers out there, the first time you bathed the infant? It's like you were all thumbs, and each time you bathed the infant, it became a little easier, how you held his little head in your hand and washed it. Or maybe the first time you arranged flowers in a vase, the more you did it, the more attractive it became. And that is how it is with reaching the higher mind. The first time there is, like I said, cobwebs that need to be swept out. And each time as you sit in the same place, listening to the same music, and if you're using crystals, the same crystals, if you are using incense, the same incense, or the same flower essence, all these signals to the body, here I am, ready to start. This is what I expect you to do. And each time it gets easier. The answers come swifter. Your understanding becomes deeper. If you want to know where you are with regards to the promises that you made before you came here, why, this is how you find it. Some are not even aware that they made commitments. Imagine being able to sit down and have the mind take this trip and see yourself before you came into this lifetime, planning what it was all about, or seeing yourself as you crossed over that dimension that we call death. We know there's really no death. But to see what happened to you as a soul and what you saw as soon as you went to the other side and who was there to help you and what that mission was all about, because that mission might have been a setup, so to speak, or something that there was a thread there that needed to be either fulfilled in this lifetime or a gift that it had for this lifetime. To be aware of these things are so fulfilling. Because what all this does, my friends, it takes you out of the boredom sometimes of the schedules that we get into. You know, you get up at a certain time, you go to work, you might take the children to school, you fix meals, and you get your paycheck and you pay your bills, and sometimes you wonder, well, what's all this about? Is there something more to life than these things? And as you sit in your study, your office, with a place maybe where you have your little altar and you do your meditating, to be able to see around the corner, so to speak, and to know, this is where I came from. This is where I'm going. And yes, I have to pay the bills. I have to go to work. I've got to pay attention to perhaps some people that irritate me, to smooth things over with them, to find a way to cooperate. But to know where you've been, to know what is before you, to know whether you're on the high road, the middle road, or the low road, there is such joy in that. And so I wanted to discuss these things with you, my friends, because I see over and over again with people who ask for readings, they haven't connected to their higher mind. They have signed up for missions of great consequence, not only to their soul, but to those people in the world that they have come to serve. They're not aware of it. They're not aware because they haven't made this connection whereby their soul has been able to give them this information. And unless you're connected, it is so easy not only to forget, but it is so easy to miss the inspiration, that quiet voice that speaks to you through the soul energy. And unless you have done the things that is going to grab the doorway, that entranceway to the higher mind, and open it to release all of those joys and knowledge and inspiration, then you might be walking around in this life trying to understand, what connection do I have with these people at work? Why do they irritate me? What can I do to soothe all of this and make peace and prosperity for all? How can I disconnect from the turmoil in my life? How can I make things easier? Because these problems are there and you don't understand them. My friends, we have some more to talk about this. And give me a call, 877-876-5227. Tell me what you're doing, what you're experiencing. Have you reached the higher mind? How do you meditate? Or questions concerning anything that I have covered so far. So let's consider something else, because there's other tools in our spiritual toolbox that can bring a lot of information and comfort and direction into your life. And that is dreams. And I don't mean dreams that you just casually go through, but dreams where you ask questions and you want an answer. So, first of all, let's talk about a dream. You see, a dream is like the back door to a house. When a guest comes in the front door, they knock on the door, you greet them, and you find out what they want, or if they're not there for a question, you're going to discuss something with them. But we'll get back to that after we take this question. And your name, please?
Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary. Just love having you here, darling.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for your beginning program today. It was such a gentle and eloquent way of making it easier to contact the higher mind. Thank you.
You're much welcome. It's so important. But I suspect you being the astute student that you are of all spiritual aspects, I'm sure you do this yourself.
Oh, of course. I mean, I just... No, I cannot live without God, and I cannot live without my higher mind. I won't do it.
So, you mean when your regular mind deserts you, you've got your higher mind to work with, huh?
Always.
So what can we do for you, dear?
I was given, you know, when you're walking along and you're just kind of open, it's kind of an open-eyed meditation. You know, you're going through your mundane things, but you're not really there.
Yeah, I've experienced that a lot where I haven't exactly been there.
Yeah. You know your dear, sweet, and much beloved body is in the room, but your heart and your mind are with your higher self.
Right.
And it was suggested that I now take some time and learn how to meditate with animals.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
And so what have you done with that?
Well, I thought I'd ask you first because I'm extremely cautious.
Oh, I'll tell you a little story. I don't know if I told you this before, if you heard it. I was in southern France. There's an area there where there's a lot of white horses.
Mm-hmm.
Quite an interesting place. And there was a... I was walking along the side of the road, and there was a corral of them, quite a few of them, in this fenced area. And it seemed to be a stallion with his mares. And so they're all eating grass, enjoying themselves, a nice sunny day. And so I stood at the fence, and I started sending them thoughts. And I was telling them how beautiful they were, how warm the day was.
Mm-hmm.
And the stallion looked up at me, and I know that the stallion heard me because they were off at a distance. They weren't like right up to the fence. So I had stopped his eating of his beloved grass, apparently, mm-hmm. and it's like he wanted to know what all of this was. And I can't say I heard his thoughts, but I know he heard mine.
Mm-hmm.
And he stood there for a while, and he watched, and he listened. And I guess maybe he thought I was some sort of threat, because with that, he gathered up all his mares, and off he went.
Mm.
But I've done this with cats. Cats seem to be easier to get messages from them. And perhaps it's because they've been around humans in a close contact, maybe, you know, indoors for a longer period of time. And I find cats a lot easier. All I can say, Rosemary, go channel a cat, darling. You can do it.
Well, last time I had a mouse in my house, I called up my friend Elizabeth, the communicator, and I said, would you go talk to your cat, you know, that beautiful lilac Persian, and I mean lilac Siamese, and would you ask him how to scare the bejesus out of a mouse? And she did, and the cat's reply was, I have people to do that.
I love it.
It was a show cat, and it was my...
Well, cats can be aloof.
Yes, they can.
and they have this sense of dignity, like, you're going to bother me with that?
Yes.
So tell me, Rosemary, knowing that you can do all this, how are you going to proceed?
I think I'm going to do what was suggested. I just wanted to mirror it from another person. I'm going to sit in the room with her where I meditate, ask her if she wants to join me, and ask her to place her head on my lap and just go back into the light and the source and the beingness.
I love it. So now tell me, what do you think this journey is all about? What do you think you're going to gain and the animal is going to gain from this exercise?
I believe in my heart what will happen is that many of our animals will then make the choice to go into ascension with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because the doorway will open for them, and
mm-hmm.
the more who do this, the wider the doorway opens.
I think that's a beautiful thought.
Okay.
I also think that there are a lot of pet owners out there who are already communicating with animals.
Mm-hmm.
And not only communicating with animals, but as you know, animals are doing great service for human beings also.
Yes.
There was an article in the paper, and I can't recall where this was, Rosemary, but it was in a home where elderly people lived, and there was a cat there. And whenever the cat would jump up on somebody's bed and sit with them, the people, the nursing crew at the home knew that that person was going to cross over soon because the cat would keep them company until they actually crossed over, which I found such an interesting story that this cat was, in essence, working to soothe the person, to relax them, to be by their side, helping them cross over. I thought it was a beautiful story.
Wow. Yes. Lovely story. That's happening all the time, whether it's children reading out loud to a collie or it's just any number, you know, to improve their grades or whatever these things are. That's why I think we need to hold a bridge and ask the higher mind, may we take our animals with us?
Mm-hmm.
It's vitally important to all of us that we ask to take our animals with us. And I don't know why I'm saying this. It's just, I know.
Well, the thing that strikes me at first, Rosemary, is all forms of creatures are on a path of discovery, a path of evolution, of becoming closer to the understanding of their life. And so animals are a part of this life wave also that are growing and developing. And I know in the work that I have done, what I hear is that when you share love with an animal, that that animal develops quite quickly.
Yes, very much so. I saw that she went from a group soul into a choice to move into an individuated soul.
Well, now that I find very fascinating. What did you notice about that? Because I do know that animals come from a group soul. So what did you see when they went from the group soul to the individualized soul?
I saw an incredible increase in consciousness.
Wow.
I saw a deliberate thinking process taking place. I saw independent thought and the choice of cooperation.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. And I'm in awe sometimes. I will just come down and look at her and go, you love me. Thank you.
Well, you know, Rosemary, there's just miracles every day, isn't it?
Yeah. It was strange. I was in the middle of Payless Shoes, and I wound up doing a healing with someone, and I don't even know her name. That was this afternoon. I don't know.
Did you buy any shoes?
No. No.
Now you know why you were there.
Yeah.
You weren't there for shoes.
No, I guess I wasn't there for you. But it, and I guess these are the gifts that we pass out just because we're supposed to. You know, this person had the need of this knowledge and information. The next thing you know, you're sharing it, and then you're just moving on down to Marshall's.
Life is beautiful, isn't it?
It is exquisitely beautiful. And one of
it becomes more beautiful when you understand, you start to enjoy the synchronicity of what's happening in the deeds in your day.
Yeah. One of my phrases, Carolyn, is, worries are prayers you wish God would stop answering.
Say that again.
Worries are prayers that you wish God would stop answering. But then God wishes that you would do better prayers. So whenever you're in the midst of something and it looks not good, stop and think of the most glorious, happiest moment, fulfilled moment of your life, connected to spirit, connected to everything, and put that there in place of, oh my.
So and true.
It works every time.
Well, it does. Your intention, your attitude makes such a difference in where your life is going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I just wanted to double check. I always double check. I'm so cautious.
Well, and there's something else about what you're saying, too, is it's easy for us as human beings to misread someone else's intention. They could say a word and you read it one way, and it's always good to stop and double check and make sure that you understand what they really intended before you respond to it.
Very, very much so. Many, many years ago, I would be, people would say, well, I heard this, and I'd say, look, as far as discarnate entities are concerned, just because someone doesn't have a body doesn't mean it that person is your friend.
So true.
The best place to go is into the light and the love of God and wait until someone is assigned to you to answer these things that you can trust.
Well, see, what you're bringing up, Rosemary, is, I think, a real issue. People are becoming involved with entities in the lower astral world, and they are accepting what they are saying as truth.
Yikes.
And these are lower entities who have not gone to the light.
Mm.
And so they wind up in a lot of problems because they think just because they're on the other side that the words that they are giving them is great wisdom, and it's not.
No. I often go into the silence and ask, what can I do for you today?
Mm-hmm.
And one time an assignment came, and I knew by that time I can trust. And it said, go to this place and rescue this soul and bring this soul back to the light.
Mm.
And I went, okay, I can do that. I rescued the soul, brought it back into the light and the love and the joy. And then I went a lot higher in the light because what was chasing after me I didn't like.
I'm sorry.
And then the rest of this is I lay and I went very high into the light. Nothing could follow me. And then I came back to my own body because even when you're scared, you don't go directly back to your body. You go into source where there is light, love, and protection. And I asked later, what was that all about? And the answer came back, my child, I am such light and such love and such perfection that were I to go into that particular school of learning, it could not exist. So I sent you.
Well, that's very good advice, Rosemary. Thank you for bringing it forth. And mm-hmm. One last thing, there's such a fine line between trust and awareness that you are working with something that is of the light.
Absolutely. There's a false light. I can't quite explain it. It doesn't feel right. It just doesn't. But it looks fine if you're looking at it. But the four filters I've always, always used is this kind? Is it truthful? Is it of necessity, and does it benefit me and those whom I love?
We're really talking here about discernment,
mm-hmm. And
it's a word that is going to be even more important now as we are moving through troubled times.
And
discernment is extremely important today.
Discernment is there, but also there has to be an understanding that martyrdom does not serve.
Absolutely.
I mean,
we've all been martyred enough.
You know, if martyrdom would have worked, we would have brought it into the new ascension of half a century ago at least.
And well, this is what I was going to say. If martyrdom worked, we'd have found that out in quite a few past lifetimes.
Yes, we would have. Right away. It doesn't work. But that whole thought form that's out there that says, you know, suffer, da-da-da-da-da, and we need to look at that and say, my service to you is joy. I don't choose suffering. Not for
absolutely.
Neither for myself nor my fellow man. I respect someone's right to choose that path if they, you know, because I have stood there like any other light being and said to someone, if I were you, I would not choose that. That looks very unwholesome. And, of course, the person... And, of course, being told, you know, you're uppity and you don't know and you're missing out all the fun. And
are we talking about children here?
We're talking about adult children. And, you know, I just kind of look at it and go, okay, and then go on and be happy.
Well, all I could say with that, Rosemary, is thank you until the next time. Let us all be happy.
Yes. Don't
forget martyrdom.
Forget martyrdom. And if someone tells you to martyr yourself in the name of, take a long, deep sigh and say, I have someone I want you to talk with called God.
Well, I don't think Yeshua ever suggested that anybody martyr themselves in the name of.
No. He did not. And, you know, through all the joys and the challenges, and there's that love of God that takes you through, and it's joyful and it's wonderful, but martyrdom is a sly trick that people are taught to, that is used against people to get them to abrogate their own power and their love.
I would agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm. And we
Rosemary,
have.
Rosemary, thank you for your wise words, darling.
I will let you go. Thank you. Bye.
I love you, sweetheart. Bye. Goodbye for now. And so, my friends, we just enjoy Rosemary so much. Give us a call now at BBS 877-876-5227. We were talking about dreams because I do believe that if you program your dream, it's a good way to augment what you're getting from the higher mind. And we were talking about dreams being the back door of the house, so to speak. If we are not facing our challenges and settling problems that are in our daily lives or becoming aware of them, then they go to the back door, and that would be in the dream state. So what you're not dealing with in the awakening state is going to show up in your dreams. Dreams, for that reason, dreams are very important. We've talked about having a dream journal because sometimes a dream or something that you need to work out, you might need 3 dreams to actually come up with the picture so you understand what the situation is. That's why a dream journal is important. Because what you put in the dream journal is what's going on you put the date, of course, what's going on in your life at the present time, and then you put the dream in. Sometimes you have to go back a week later and look at the sequence of dreams so that you understand the communication. Sometimes you might have a frightening dream because of something that you ate or anxiety that you were carrying to sleep with you, but even that can be helpful. Sometimes we don't understand our anxieties or recognize them because we carry them so closely to us. But one of the things that is very helpful is if you have a question that you can't seem to find the answer to, as you go off to sleep, ask that question. And it's going to be when you're in the alpha state, when you are completely relaxed and you are drifting off to sleep, you ask your question. And the soul is always willing to serve you. When you go to sleep at night and you're in that state of mind and you ask the question, it is very powerful. I have found myself in doing this that I will have dreams that are what I would call reincarnational dreams, dreams of previous lifetimes, because so many times our question that we are, that cause us the greatest challenge in our day-to-day living is based upon events that have happened in other lifetimes. One of the ways that you know that a dream is a reincarnational dream from another lifetime is you see people in the dream in what I would call period costume, turn-of-the-century clothes, or even earlier than that. So if you're seeing dreams and the people in the dream are all dressed in a particular kind of garb that is not from this period, chances are pretty good that this is a reincarnational dream. And if you see a person who is dressed this way in the dream and there is not a face, it's like blank, that is you. And so those dreams in particular are dreams that you really want to describe and put down in your dream journal. And when you have this dream, synchronicity is very important too, because you will most of the time receive some confirmation of what is in that dream in your day-to-day life if you pay attention to what you are seeing. I have found, my friends, that, well, I call myself that part that is in my body, the ego. When you truly have a question and you're trying to you're trying to make sense of what you are about and you want information, spirit is going to do everything they can to assist you. So in other words, if you have an honest question, you will get assistance, because that is just the structure of the universe. So active meditation, dreams, and then there is another aspect of that. You see, it's very important to learn how to relax the body as completely as you can, because what you're doing is you're slowing down the brain waves, and it is what we call the alpha state. And the way you recognize that, it's how you feel right before you drop off to sleep, or, you know, sometimes you drive the same route back and forth to work or to the store, and you get in a car and you get there or you get back and you think, gee, I don't remember driving back, but here I am. The body took over and the mind was someplace else. That, again, is an indication that you were in an alpha state. And so it's very important to learn how to get into the alpha state, the tools to use, because what comes from that is extremely important. Because this inner landscape, so to speak, that you find through meditation, through meeting with the higher mind, there are answers where you need to go to the universe. You're outside of that internal location, so to speak, and you need information from the external, from the universal consciousness, which could be an answer any place in the world. And you do this also through calming the mind, calming the body, and sitting in this place, hopefully, that you have dedicated to this purpose, and send your question out to the cosmic mind, the universal mind. You can do this a number of ways. formulate your question. I've heard some people use a technique as if they have put the question in a balloon. Well, you do that only if you feel that that is necessary, that you need a prop, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then you touch it, send it on its way, knowing that the answer will come back to you. And that might take a while. It might come back in the next meditation. It might come back in a dream. It might come back in a synchronistic manner, or it might come back immediately. These are all techniques that you can use so that you understand the interior landscape of who you are and understand it as best as you can, so that you can live in the full awareness of who you are, what you are, and where you are going. And so, my friends, as we're winding up the program, I suggest that you go to one of my new websites, www.IamYeshuaReturned.com. Gaze at the picture there. Yeshua has put his essence in that picture. And if you use the name Jesus to recognize this master, that is fine. We use Yeshua because that is his Hebrew name, or the Aramaic name. It's not a strange name. We're talking about the same individual. Jesus is the Greek translation. And so, my friends, until next week, next Saturday, we will be on board with Shirlene, working on healing of the etheric body and past life trauma and other things. And Sunday, back here again, same time, same place. And I will say again, beloveds, follow what you feel and trust your intuition. Goodbye for now. This is Carolyn Evers.
It won't be hard to find a fairy godmother.